This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya. My gosh, the conversations that have spun from today's Buzz with Bill articles. what was it called again? Gatto Bianco?
Yeah, Gatto Bianco, white cat. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, we're on to you. We think that there's going to be some human-friendly cat food so you can share your meal with your pet sometime soon.
No, thank you.
This is the prequel to that. Anyways, you can always check out all these conversations that we have on our repeat. 5 p.m. Eastern time is the repeat of today's show. If you want to check it out, AMI Audio. I'm Ramya Amadhin here with Danielle McLaughlin on Kelly & Company.
Ramya, once a month, we're joined by our guide dog and service animal reporter, Devin Wilkins.
I'm Devin Wilkins from Peterborough, Ontario, your self-appointed messenger from the world of guide, hearing, and service dogs. Join me at this time each month as we discuss topics of particular interest to you and your precious pup.
Hello, Devin. How are you?
I'm doing well, Danielle. How about you, Ramya?
We're great. Thank you.
Thank you. I always look forward to your segments and hearing about what's happening in the world of the canines. The International Association of Assistance Dog Partners is announcing a new website, and we hear it's very timely. What can you tell us?
Yeah, well, the IAADP, which is a United States-based organization, has been around for maybe 20, 25 years, and they've just announced the launch on August 1st of a new website, and everything is kind of all spruced up a bit and easier to find, I guess, and they serve people with all types of disabilities. And they do have some international members. Now, a lot of the stuff that you see on their website is American-based or kind of tipped toward the Americans because it is in the States is where it started. So, but there are other countries that have assistance dogs. I remember going with them to Japan, quite a few of them, to speak at an assistance dog conference over there. So they do have connections in other locations other than the States. So, yeah, IAADP.org. ORG. Now, the one thing that I wanted to mention, though, is that it has nothing to do with, at least it's not, it wasn't timed to coincide with International Assistance Dog Week, which is from August 7th to August 13th this year. It's always the first full week in August. But I guess the two things really have nothing to do with each other. But if you want to check out both websites, you'll get all sorts of information.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, this sounds good, and like you said, it's not really timed out, but still worked out.
Let's talk.
Devin, tell us about the second annual Leader Dog Walk that took place in Canada, and it was a resounding success.
Yeah, it was. You'd think that with only 2 years under its belt. Not too many people would know about it, but there is a fellow here in Peterborough. His name is John Morris, and he is a member of the Alliance District. In fact, he is the chair of the Leader Dog Lions that they work to get people to go to Rochester Hills, Michigan, to go to their school. And they were around before the Lions Foundation of Canada here in Oakville. And there are a lot of people who like to stick with the school that they started with. So, yes, there are still some people that go from Canada down to Rochester Hills, Michigan, to go to the school there because they know the training program and they know the trainers and they're comfortable with the staff. So anyway, John decided that, and his committee decided that they were going to run a fundraising walk up here to maybe raise a little bit of money for Leader Dogs. And last June they had it, and the final figure that they came up with was $2,405, which is pretty good for, you know, just a city-wide walk and mm-hmm. only happening in this district. So, yeah, they were very happy with how things turned out.
That's really nice.
News.
And, yeah, and it's nice to cover, you know, the big, big events, but also the local support
yeah.
that, you know, these kind of things are getting. Because, of course, we know how much these, all the events and all the support plays in the bigger picture, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. They've got to get their money from somewhere, and if they continue to serve Canadians, so why not, you know? And so it's nice that that Canadians kind of chip in and help to raise funds and
yeah.
not just assume that
it's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially
right.
through the pandemic, honestly, all these monthly reports from you included, someone, somewhere, tons of people waiting on dogs, not being able to cross the border, struggling and dealing with the challenges of having to retire their dogs and not being able
yeah.
to work their dogs. There were just so many things going on. So it's almost like, you know, you have to work ahead and understand that these funds have to be accumulated, right? Because it takes
yeah.
a lot of work training these animals.
Oh, yes. And expense, you know, $30,000 a piece
wow.
for the training
yep.
that goes into these dogs and that sort of thing. Wow.
Well, no wonder it's a big celebration when people get a new one. That's, you know,
a new,
big, big happy event for sure.
Oh, definitely. Wagging tails and everything else.
And that's just the person.
I know.
The August Spotlight on Assistance Dogs features Leader Dogs Prison Pup Program. Can you tell us what this is?
Well, I guess what they do is they when the pup is ready to leave its mum, instead of going to a family, they bring it into a prison institution facility. And the prisoners each take a dog and raise it for the next year or so and teach it basic obedience like sit and stand and down and wait and that sort of thing, commands like that. And I've heard prisoners say that it's a way that they can give back to society, and
yeah.
They feel just as bad when the pup is set to go to a blind person. They feel they're happy that the dog is going to be able to fulfill its planned goal, but you know you can. It's so difficult to break that bond that you've managed to establish with the dog, and so they cry just as hard as any other family that does the foster work for the first maybe 15 months of the dog's life, because it's hard to give up the dog. But they do, and the dogs have been very successful. You heard me mention John Morris earlier, and not his present dog, but the dog before that was from the prison pup program.
Ah,
and
wonderful.
He has a presentation that was given on that program through Leader Dogs, and so I'm going to play that on Spotlight on Assistance Dogs on the third Friday of the month. But until then, in celebration of International Assistance Dog Week, my chat with the lady with the diabetes alert dog is still there. So you'll be able to enjoy both of those. And the
website that's really great.
Is there. So, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. And I bet that the dogs in the prisons benefit the prisoners, too, helping them to, you know, form bonds with, you know, another living
yes.
being is a big thing. That's wonderful to hear about.
And I think forming bonds with people is one of the problems that they have had to deal with in their lives.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm sure that is very helpful to them.
Yeah, that's great. A great program. Devin, we have a couple of minutes. Can you give us a little bit of assistance dog trivia?
Okay. Do they train? And several schools across Canada do train. Do they train seizure alert dogs or seizure response dogs?
Ooh. Response?
Yes, that's right. Apparently alerting, some dogs can tell just, I don't know whether it's by your body language or I know for people with diabetes, it's the smell of your breath that mm-hmm. alerts them, the dog, to the fact that there's something wrong. But whatever it is, that is something that the dog has to develop on its own. And some dogs do, and some dogs don't. So it's not seizure alert dogs that they train. It is response. A lot of people report having been robbed or otherwise abused while they're in the middle of having a seizure, if you can believe it or not. And so the dog is there to either bark for help or to just stand over the person and say, "Don't you bother my mom or my dad," while they're in distress already.
Well, that is really good to know. Very impressive behavior. Thank you so much, Devin.
You're welcome. Nice to chat with both of you, and happy International Assistance Dog Week.
And to you.
We
hear from Devin Wilkins on the first Wednesday of the month for our Guide Dog and Service Animal Report.
We're going to get some tips on barbecuing and picnics, a conversation from a while ago with Leanne Barda, after the break on Kelly & Company.
Join us weekly for The Pulse with host Juita Gupta, who brings us closer to issues impacting the disability community across Canada. Watch The Pulse on YouTube or listen wherever you download your AMI podcasts.